step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Hey everyone, welcome to the press. It is our Wednesday show for this week, and today we are going to talk about the other tours. We're going to talk about the LIV Golf event in Mayakoba, which starts on Friday, and we'll talk about the Bahrain Championship on the DP World Tour, which starts tomorrow. I'm Ryan Ballengee. Thanks for being here. We have some clarity now on who's going to be playing on LIV this season, and specifically in this event, and I want to talk about it a little bit as a precursor before we get into the odds and the picks for the week. So there are going to be 13 teams this year with four players. The 13th team is John Rahm's team. It's called Legion 13. He will be in it. Tyrrell Hatton will be in it. Player from the University of Texas, Caleb Surratt, who's a South Carolina product, I believe. And Kieran Vincent. So you've got those four guys as a team. You've got two new guys who just signed, were announced today, even though they were in the field list that was put on DraftKings website, which would have given you a hint about things. Adrian Meronk did sign with LIV after all. By the way, the reigning DP World Tour Player of the Year. And he's going to be on the Cleeks team, along with Kale Samuja, who qualified for this tour by the Q School. So he's going to be in. The other signee is Lucas Herbert. He's from Australia, former top 50 player. Has won on the PGA Tour, also won the DP World Tour in Japan, I think last year. He will be on the Ripper team, which is the Aussie team, right? So they'll be a part of it. Then, aside from that, you've got some different signees as well. So they are going to have 54 players in the field this year. There will be two unaffiliated players each and every week that they play. Hudson Swafford will always be one of them. He is a wild card every single tournament. His LIV contract, he got injured the beginning of last season. They took him off the team that he was on, which I don't even remember was at this point, and he didn't play. Then he came back. He still has a contract, but now they've signed other players, and they have other players they have to fit in because of their, you know, there are other contracts that they've signed, stuff like that. So they have put Swafford on an unaffiliated basis into every event. So he can't qualify for the team championship, which I think is kind of weird for him. But he will be in every event. The other wild card for the first two events will be Lori Cantor, who has filled in at different times for other players on this tour. And then let's see if I missed anybody. The other guys that are new, Andy Ogletree, who got on by winning the International Series Order of Merit for the Asian Tour. Talked about Kieran Vincent and Kale Samuja. And then Jinichiro Kazuma is the other player who got through the Q School. He is on the Ironheads team, which is kind of a crappy draw for him. But hey, he's getting $1.4 million regardless, so he's going to be fine. We don't know yet about the pay scale for all of this. I'm going to try and find that out today. And that doesn't necessarily affect you, but they're still going to have the $20 million individual purse. That's not changed. And then they're going to have the $5 million team purse. Top three teams win. So that model is not changing either, from best I can tell. That all said, we've got a second year for this event in Mayakoba at El Chameleon Golf Course. And it's a Greg Norman design, Playa del Carmen, Mexico, Mayakoba Resort. And this is an interesting golf course that used to host the PGA Tour and used to host the Worldwide Technology Championship. The tournament, the course itself, is a little bit longer. You know, it's not short. It's par 71. But it's tight. Hitting fairways is difficult. There are a lot of places on the course, I think particularly on the back, where if you miss, you are in deep doo-doo. So driving accuracy kind of matters here more than some other courses on the PGA, or that were on the PGA Tour. Certainly more than some courses that are on LIV. It's not a catch-all. It's not a be-all. I mean, everyone's going to miss fairways because it's fairly tight. So you got to be able to put the ball out there comfortably. If you look at the leaderboard from last year here, it was a little strange, I think, for a couple of different reasons. But one of the big reasons is the golf course itself. One was that a lot of players who are on this tour did not play Mayakoba when it was on, when they were on the PGA Tour or the DP World Tour. So they didn't have experience in the course. I think that factors in and means something. And you look at the leaderboard, Charles Howell III won by four. I mean, he shot 64 on Sunday and won by four over Peter Uihlein. Brandon Grace, who had a nice year last year, was third. Paul Casey was fourth. Carlos Ortiz, Cameron Smith tied for fifth. Grant McDowell, who pretty much didn't do anything the rest of the year, was T7, along with Pat Perez, Brendan Steele, Taylor Gooch, Sebastian Munoz, Matthew Wolf, who had like his only good finish of the year here. So if you're looking at last year's leaderboard, you're kind of noticing a trend there, right? I mean, not a lot of long guys that are just kind of a little bit more accurate off the tee. Cam Smith is maybe the exception to that, but he's got the power game to not necessarily need driver to get around. All the other guys are kind of finesse players. So if you want to carry that through to this year, why in the world would you bet John Rahm at 5-1 to win? I mean, I get it. He's the number three player in the world. He's the reigning Masters champion. He is in the top three best players on LIV. But he's priced like he's way better than Cam Smith, who admittedly had a horrible year last year. Bryson DeChambeau, who had a great back two-thirds of the year, really, on this tour. Better than Taylor Gooch, who's the guy who has the wins record on this tour. Better than Dustin Johnson, who I think is a bad fit for this venue. Better than Brooks Koepka, who I think is a bad fit for this venue. So you got Tyrrell Hatton at 12-1 because he's the new guy. Well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. That seems kind of misguided. I don't think I would pick Tyrrell Hatton in this situation. I mean, he's a good driver of the golf ball, but it's not like he's that kind of driver of the golf ball to make him 12-1 relative to those people. So what I want to do is go to our PGA Tour results database, and we'll look at Mayakoba and try to figure out just some kind of correlation here to the last five-ish years of the event and try to find some LIV guys. Because there are some LIV guys who have played well here in the past. Obviously, Abe answers one of them. He had three top 12 finishes from 2020 to 2022. He obviously didn't play when he went to LIV, but he's a guy to look for here. And if you look at his price, you're getting him at 22-1. That's not a bad number for him. I think that's worth a look, certainly given the quality of experience that he has. Kind of go down the board a little bit more. Sergio Garcia had an okay finish here. He started to figure some things out toward the tail end of the year, it felt like, so maybe he's worth a couple of shekels in terms of a bet. Beyond that, maybe Anirban Lahiri is worth a look here. He had a T10 here in 2019. He is one of those kind of players on this tour that just kind of creeps up on you and has good finishes. And just because there are other players here doesn't mean he's not equally qualified. I think 50-1 is an interesting wager on him here to go out and win the first event of the year. And then going down a little bit more, again, you don't have a lot of that experience on this golf course. Carlos Ortiz, of course, he had a good finish here last year in this event and continues to play well. So stick with those guys. I mean, go after Ortiz. I think he feels like being on a different team might be good for him. You give him a 25-1. Hey, that's cool. I'm down with that. You have to look at Dean Burmester, who was great in the co-sanctioned events between the DP World Tour and the Sunshine Tour. You got to look at Louis Oosthuizen. Hanging it there at 25-1. He doesn't win in North America, so that should be a concern to you. But Dean Burmester, I think, is quite interesting at that price. So you can find some value in those guys. I think Taylor Gooch is worth a look. I think if you're trying to think of a motivational story, LIV signed some new guys, and they're going to promote them pretty hard. And I feel like, in a way, that not that they have left him to the side, but he's not perceived as the same star as these other guys are. I mean, he's their like one and only homegrown star, right? He's the guy. I mean, I know he had won on the PGA Tour previously, but he's the guy that kind of came into his own on LIV so far. I think he's probably properly motivated. So he would be of interest to me here this week. And then you still have got all these guys with like super long odds. I mean, you've got guys at 400-1, Hudson Swafford, Kieran Vincent 300, Keimer, Danny Lee, Kale Samuja, Phil Mickelson's 200-1. Actually, I think that it's almost crazy enough to pick up Phil Mickelson at that price, even though he's not playing well on this tour. Pat Perez kind of interests me a little bit on a personal story level. He unfortunately got divorced in November, or the divorce proceeding started. His wife has not been good about it on social media. I mean, Pat's kept it pretty quiet, and I think he's tried to keep it as much to himself as he can, but his ex-wife is not doing that. And that, one, bothers me, but two, may motivate him. So maybe he comes out and plays well this week just to kind of say, look, I've still got something here. He has played well in this tournament in the past. 2019 on the PGA Tour, sixth place. 2020, eighth place in those seasons. So it's the 2018, 2019 year. So he has played this golf course well previously. I think he's worth a consideration here. I'm not saying bet a whole lot of money. Also, Harold Varner III I would look at too. He has a sixth place finish here in 2018, playing on the Four Aces team. So he's maybe, I don't really know the psychology how the team stuff works on LIV, of course, but I feel like if you're going to go play on the what has historically been the best team so far in the short history of LIV, maybe you feel a little bit more cocky about it. So he might be interesting. Also, he unfortunately had a DUI in the offseason, so I don't know where he is with his game or the legal process or anything like that. You may want to hedge based on that, but that did happen in the offseason. But if you look at the price you get for him, it's not bad. So I think that's probably where I would start. I would probably try to stay away from players who haven't played LIV or this event before. So looking at like an Andy Ogletree, who had a great year last year, breakthrough year for him professionally. But he's 65-1, and I feel like he should be 120-1, if that makes sense. Peter Uihlein played here well last year. He's on a new team. Maybe he feels a little opened up. I don't know. That now that he doesn't have to deal with now that he's dealing with Bubba as his captain, so to speak. But I would stay away from Ronk. I would start with the Mexican guys. I would start with Anser and Ortiz. They've played well here. I would look at Burmester, maybe Oosthuizen. I would certainly want to look toward Anirban Lahiri at that price. I think that's a good number. Pat Perez seems interested and motivated, and he's a good player on this golf course. And then just kind of keep it at that. Keep it pretty tight for the first week. The problem with this tour, handicapping it, is that they don't play frequently enough. They will have back-to-back events, so maybe you get a little bit of benefit from that next week. We don't know that venue and how PGA Tour LIV players will relate to it. So I would always bet this tour very shy. Let's put it that way. I would always bet it pretty shy. You know, maybe pick four or five guys, put a little bit of money on it. Half to one-third the money you would normally put on a PGA Tour player. And if you get it, hey, cool. If you don't, whatever. Bahrain Championship, I want to talk about. Another event where just kind of, it's really hard to get behind a lot of players this week because two reasons. One, so far this year, the winners have been chalk, first or second favorite every tournament. Two, this is a golf course most of these players don't know. So you're playing Royal Golf Club in Bahrain, which, all right, what does that mean? I don't know. I think for a lot of players, not much of anything. So I think you want to stick with some of the chalk here. Rasmus Højgaard is 8-1. I think he's worth a look. I would drop down to Yannick Paul at 16-1, who's been playing great. Keita Nakajima is in the field this week, which I think is kind of interesting. Given that he was the best player on the Japanese tour last year to play this tour. I don't know if his game immediately translates to the DP World Tour, but man, he's a good player. Xander Lombard's 22-1. I think that's probably where I would look. Alex Fitzpatrick's kind of flashing a little bit that he's got some form, maybe 25-1. And then you start to get into kind of guys that are veterans, like a Bernd Wiesberger and Jaus Luiten and Romain Langasca a little bit. I think they're maybe worth a consideration, but I would start to go deeper. Think about like Dan Bradberry to a degree, maybe a Guido Migliozzi. But so far, what we have seen on this tour is that chalk's winning. And I don't know why that is, and it could change at any time, and this is probably one of those places where it could. So maybe you want to go look beyond that. I don't know. But I mean, I have a soft spot for Eddie Pepperell. Matthew Baldwin interests me a little bit as a super deep shot. But I think I would tend to stay on the higher end here, or the lower end in terms of your multiplier, but in terms of odds. But I think I probably wouldn't go much deeper than the 30-1s. Unless you, like I said, you had someone you had an eye on that maybe had one good finish somewhere. But I think, yeah, this is Yannick Paul's tournament to lose, personally speaking. And I would probably look at that accordingly. You can do your top 20s and 40s. I mean, I kind of dabble a little bit in the DP World Tour. I don't have certainly a serious set of tools around that tour, or LIV for that matter, because I find LIV very strange to handicap. It almost seems better to just do it based on current form on LIV versus any kind of other metric. So I feel the same way right now about the DP World Tour. It's just go find guys who are playing well right now, take a little bit of chalk, and kind of hope for the best. But I don't see a whole lot of value in this tour right now. I think you have a whole lot more value this week of everything that you could bet on the Pebble Beach Pro-Am because of the weird conditions, depending on the timing of when weather comes through. And everyone's kind of in a tight window on those tee times. It's, you know, it's 8:45 in the morning or something to 10:21 in the morning, somewhere in that range, 10:33, whatever that number is. So it's a, you know, 2-hour window. That's enough to create a difference in the field and depending on the course, perhaps. But I think everyone's going to kind of get stuck in it at some point. Whatever bad weather's coming, whether, you know, the consistent 20-mile-per-hour breeze, the gusts of 40 and 50 that could be coming, everyone's going to get a piece of that. So it may be total happenstance that you're in the right place at the right time for that kind of thing. That's just my thinking on it, which means you could get some tremendous value, as we talked about in the Monday and Tuesday shows. I would probably, I've always bet LIV very lightly, just because it seems like chalk wins, but you have players who occasionally surprise, but chalk tends to win, and I don't see a whole lot of value in those shorter fields. But same things happen on the DP World Tour to start the year. So I think your best investment this week is long shots to win on the PGA Tour and some top 20s for players that'll get you a decent amount of plus money in an 80-player field. All right, that's going to do it for us this week on the show. Thanks so much for listening. I very much appreciate it. If you have any questions for me, Ryan at thegolfnewsnet.com, on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Balaji. Join Golf News Net for $40 a year. We're actually going to put together, based on some user feedback, two things. One, took out all of the ads last night for users. So I had changed ad providers and changed ad setup. I needed to test it in the offseason. And I was like, oh, yeah. Got to do that. So that's all gone now. So you have a much faster experience. If you're logged in, you won't get any display ads or video ads of any kind. It's really pretty sweet. And also we're going to create we've done player profiles, individual player profile pages, but we've only done it for like 100 players. And there are lots of players every week that we'll never build a profile page for because no one searches for that. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't have access to that data. So we're going to create basically a player info page, and you'll be able to drop down from every player's in the PGA Tour field that week and see what they've been up to recently in a tournament history, all that stuff. I'll figure that out here in the next day or two. So we'll have that for next week for you as we get ready for the next event. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week on The Press. Good luck with your bets this week.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.